The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. It's episode 91. Hello, Ewan Cameron.
Oh, it's getting very exciting.
It's getting very exciting.
How many sleeps?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Four sleeps left until the Euros, until Scotland kick off the Euros in Germany against Germany.
It feels like we're building up to Christmas Day. This is like Christmas Day for football fans.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this for a long time because we qualified.
We pretty much qualified when we beat Norway.
That was it. Well, you were confident because you booked your flights as soon as we beat Norway.
And I was right, yeah.
And you were right. So it does feel like this long wait is just around the corner. Four more sleeps. I cannot stop thinking about it. And I am now feeling as though I'm going to miss out. You're going to Germany.
Yeah.
Kat, my pal who I work with on the Breakfast Show, she's going to Germany.
Yeah.
And I'm no.
No, you're not. You're staying here.
I have the...
You're manning the fort, though. We need people like you to man the fort while we're away having the time of our life.
I feel like I'm the captain on the Titanic, though.
How do you mean?
I'm the last one and I'm left behind to make sure everything's all right and everyone's got off the boat.
I mean, well, if everything is left to you, then it won't be all right. That's the problem.
Well, that's why I'm the captain.
Do you know what is all
ship.
Right, though? Do you know what is all right, though?
Go and tell me what's all right.
Scotty Brand and their new brand new beetroot chips.
Yes.
Because they come in three sensational flavours: Thai sweet chilli, lime and coriander, plus cheese and onion. We'll be playing our crisp game a little bit later on.
What crisp we've got in front of us?
We have this week, I believe, we've got Thai sweet chilli. Don't move them because it took ages to put it like that. And we've got cheese and onion on that side as well.
Our bags of the cheese and onion.
Right, well, I'm going to use the cheese and onion for the game a wee bit later on.
Oh, it's your turn this week.
It's my turn for the game. You can have the leftovers after I've finished.
But don't spit into them.
No, of course I won't. Remember, you can get them at your local Morrison's and they're perfect with... a wee beer watching the football this summer.
I had a packet of them at the weekend with a bottle of beer and they're absolutely spectacular with a bottle of beer. Somebody sent us a picture of them drinking beer and eating those crisps.
Precisely, which is what we want, which is why Scotty Brand are sponsoring the podcast during the Euros.
It's a perfect snack for watching the football.
Absolutely. So it's Scotty Brand and their brand new beetroot chips. We'll be playing our game later on. It's called Chip Charnley this week. As well, somebody messaged that in. We'll give you the credit later on when I actually get to it. So head along to Morrison's, pick up a packet or two for that Scotty Brand and their brand new beetroot chips. Right, lots of correspondence.
Wait, before we get to that,
what we got?
I've got to do a review.
Oh God. Every week I try and move on from this, but carry on. You know what I did do, actually? I watched Late Night with the Devil on Saturday night.
I recommend that a few weeks ago.
It's okay.
Oh, it's Demon, it's brilliant.
It's okay.
It's one of the movies of the year.
Do you know that all the actors, apart from the lead guy, was Australian?
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it was filmed in Sydney.
Was it? Yeah. I loved the movie, Late Night with the Devil.
It's okay.
Shh, Stephen.
It's one of the films that...
It's one of the films of the year.
It's not.
It really is.
It's not.
So...
That
was a recommendation a couple of weeks ago. My recommendation this week is, I don't even know where to begin with this. It's only available on Disney Plus. No, it's not Shrek and it's not a cartoon. This is very much for adults and adults only, because Disney Plus have an adult channel called Star TV. Well, it's for adults. There's a lot more risky content that they put their risky content on. So
I didn't know Disney had moved into that industry. Not
the adult industry that you're thinking.
Right, okay. Well, you said they've got an adult channel.
Yes, I wasn't meaning it like that.
Right, okay.
They're not involved in anything like that.
Okay,
But it's where they house their adult content.
Right.
Like documentaries and movies that are for the older generation, i.e. 15 plus, 18 plus. There's some horrific horror movies on Star TV.
So there's no sort of like Mickey Mouse.
No, don't you dare say that. So...
Goofy, is he into anything?
No, he's not. Or Pluto either.
Pluto.
Disney Plus, the documentary is called The Scandal, God Forbid.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to give anything away in regards to names or who's involved in this.
Right.
It's an hour and 40 minutes long. It's not loads and loads of episodes. It's superb. There was a young guy, age 20.
Mm-hmm.
And he is known as the pool boy.
Right.
And the pool boy was making extra money while he was at college, and he worked at a swimming pool facility in Miami.
Right.
So his job was to sort the beds, move the chairs, hand out the towels, okay. walk around and make sure everything's A-OK. Mm-hmm. He would speak to the guests of the hotel, this pool boy. And he noticed one day there was a woman in her 40s continually staring at him. Right, this guy's okay. 20. Continually staring at him. This woman in his 40s.
Are you sure? Are you sure Disney haven't moved into...
No, that's not. It's a documentary.
Because I think I've
no,
seen...
No,
I think I've seen a similar scenario play out.
Involving a plumber.
Yeah.
Involving a taxi driver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but this is a pool boy.
You're going to have to pay for it somehow, love.
This is a pool boy. So, right, but okay. He noticed what this one particular day, this older woman in her 40s staring at him. I mean, was literally watching him every step of the way.
Right, okay.
And him being a 20-year-old guy, was intrigued by this, was kind of turned on by it.
Yeah.
He went over and spoke to this 40-year-old woman, sat down beside her, and within 30 minutes of the conversation striking up, she says, "Do you want to come back to my room?"
Right, okay.
"And get it on. Let's get it on."
Right, so...
Wait. So, and he was like, she's a cougar. She's a good-looking woman. Mm-hmm. I'm 20.
Yeah.
I'm horny.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me your hotel room. So she disappears up to the hotel room, and after his shift finishes, he is a 20-year-old lad. Wait! Runs up to the hotel room, knocks on the door. She answers the door to the hotel room. He goes in, and who's sat in the corner? Her husband.
Right.
He's there to watch. He's in to watch.
See when I said... What sort of channel Disney Plus have started up?
Star TV.
You're not sort of...
No, but it's a documentary.
You're not dispelling any of this.
The 20-year-old lad walks into the room and the husband sat there and he just wants to watch him and his wife.
Okay, right. You did say you're not going to give anything away. No.
And then I'm not going to tell you who the family are. I'm not going to tell you the individuals involved. But what happens over the next 7 years is mind-blowing.
Right.
Okay. A Hollywood scriptwriter would struggle to write this story. And if they put this in film and they put it out on the big screen, you would call it far-fetched. And what I will say, they are one of the most powerful, richest families in the United States of America. And the guy at the centre of it sat there in the corner watching his wife and this young lad for 7 years, and then it all came out in the public domain.
They were in that room for 7 years.
Wow. And it's phenomenal. It is called, God forbid, The Scandal That Brought Down a Dynasty. It's on Disney Plus. It's on Star TV. Get it watched.
I also watched the J. Lloyd Samuel documentary.
I was about to say that.
Last week on Netflix. Now, I don't think we mentioned that on the podcast.
No.
But, a recommendation from me, and you know when I recommend something that's good, the J. Lloyd Samuel documentary on Netflix is mental.
Yeah, this is a...
You don't need to explain it.
No,
just let people...
No, he's no, I'm just saying, in case you're probably thinking, I know
that name. Former Premier League football player, played with
Aston Villa, played with England.
Played with Cardiff and stuff like that. Just go and watch it. You don't need to say anything else. I'm not going to say anything
else. He died in a car crash. People know that. They know he's no longer around.
But then
what comes out after the car crash is unreal.
Just shut up.
Did you know any of that?
Look what you've done.
You've knocked over the Scottish brand potato chips.
That was you.
Did you know any of that?
They're not potato chips, they're beetroot chips.
But did you know any of that stuff, what came out after the car crash? Did you heard that before?
No, and I don't want to say anything.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Just don't say anything. Stop spoiling things for people.
See, going back to the scandal with the 20-year-old lad.
Right.
See, if you were the pool boy... Yep. Working in Miami by the pool and a 40-plus-year-old woman gives you her hotel room and you're age 20, are you going up to the room?
No, because I probably don't want to be spoken about on a Scottish football podcast.
No, when you're 20, think of the hormones. Think about how...
Well, we know what you would do because you were in a hotel room in Abu Dhabi.
I did do it many years ago.
But I'm probably asking,
yeah, you would have.
Probably.
But what would happen when you walked into the room of the cougar and the husband was sat there? Do you carry on or do you leave the room?
I don't know, Ewan. I don't know.
But what do you think within yourself? Is that the kind of thing you're into? Like, would you like somebody to watch you?
Who's he?
No.
No.
Have you ever had anyone watch you?
Not to my knowledge. No, unless you're about to Jeremy Beadle me here. and say,
show
well,
you a video clip.
Some sort of candid camera.
So you would turn down the opportunity to sleep with the cougar because her husband's watching?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Producer John, you're in that situation. You turn up at the hotel room and the wife's husband sat there wanting to watch. Do you continue or do you leave the room?
I'll continue.
I'm no surprised.
John's been married a long time. Those opportunities don't come up very often anymore. So,
but just to go back, when I was 20, you and not now, obviously.
We're talking about an older woman, and of course you're going to be like, oh, she fancies me, she wants a bit of me, and yeah, why not? So, you only live once. I think I would probably put off with the fact that the husband was sat in the corner on a chair.
Yeah, that was my entire point.
But the lad, C18, talks about the first time.
Ewan, stop giving that stuff away. Let people watch it.
He kept looking over his shoulder to see what the husband was doing because he didn't know whether...
Let people watch it.
You need to watch it. Disney Plus. It's really good. God forbid.
Artificial pitches. We had the Falkirk CEO, Jamie Swinney, on last week. Thank you again, Jamie, for coming on the podcast.
Somebody... on Pullman train station on Saturday had a pop at me for the way that I spoke to Mr. Swinney. Not in a bad way. Me and the Falkirk fan had a heated debate. He loves the podcast.
Okay.
But he disagreed with me.
Right.
In regards to my questioning.
That's allowed.
And it was 100% it's allowed. But I wasn't surprised by his attitude and with what he thought because he's a Falkirk fan. So of course he wasn't going to like being...
54 champions. Cameron, spot on here for the first time ever, speaking about plastic pitches.
Cheers, mate.
Mark says, it's mental that a guy who can't cook rice thinks he knows more about running a football club than a guy who runs a football club. Uh-huh.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses, mate.
David says, Ewan won the debate. The only thing I agreed with from the Falkirk CEO was that promoted teams should get a year's grace. Surely that would be an easy compromise for the Premiership 12 to make.
I actually think that was the best point he made last week. And I thought it was, when I thought about it, I think it's common sense and made sense that they should get that year's grace.
Ali, very good listening to Jamie Swinney, get his points over. I thought he articulated them extremely well. I think he swayed Ewan Cameron over by the end.
I was impressed by him.
The CI says, a reminder to Ewan that this was Hearts pitch in 2019 when they hosted the Edinburgh Fringe event. Big boys Hearts also used money they couldn't afford for years, then shed the debt in an 8p in the pound administration payoff, but happy to put a financial burden on clubs like Falkirk.
What's the point? This was a pitch of the pitch,
by the way.
Yeah, and we learned from our mistakes of hosting a festival event there, and it won't happen again.
That bit there?
Yeah, right. It's for the people watching on YouTube. Watching. There you go.
Yeah, well, if you stop talking, then it'll come to my... There you go. So it looks a mess there.
And we learned from our mistakes, and we don't hold any more festival fringe events.
Right, okay, that's fine. What else have we got? We had lots of people talking about Scottish football revamp as well off the back of my tweet about plastic pitches. Somebody got in touch. I don't have their name actually, sadly here. Oh no, it was Albert's left peg actually.
Oh.
Here's my take on Scottish football and how it could be made 100 times better. What do we think, folks? Strap yourselves in. 3 leagues.
Uh-huh.
Premiership 18 teams, Championship 18 teams, Conference 20 teams.
Right.
Play each other only twice, 2 teams relegated, 1 team comes up automatically, and the other 4 teams from the lower league play playoffs to come up. Doesn't stop there. Subscription to watch all games, £15 a month. I think if you can get 250,000 subscriptions for that easily, if you want access to all the games, Bin Sky TNT Premier for the league games, 250k times 15 is £3.75 million per month. Over a year, that's 45 million.
What does Sky pay just now?
Less than that.
However,
I believe that this has obviously been explored before, like 20 years ago or something.
SPL TV
and all the rest of it. Off of that 45 million, you need to pay for all the production costs.
Oh, yes.
Presenters,
yes.
Pundits. Commentators,
correct.
Reporters,
yeah.
Backroom staff, cameramen and women.
Technology, all of it.
So that eats up a bit of it as well.
Do you know how much the cameras cost? I was speaking to my brother's a cameraman.
Yeah.
See the cameras that Sky and all that put in, about $100,000 a pop.
$100,000 a pop. And you've got...
For a game?
Yeah.
No, just to buy the camera outright.
Just by... Here's a question for you, John. Maybe you might not know the answer, but maybe you could text your brother while we're doing the show. What does it cost to put on that production, i.e. get the camera trucks up, the satellite trucks, the cameras in place, and see producer, directors, cameramen?
See, for a game on like BBC Alba or maybe one of the championship games.
What does it cost to put that on?
I spoke to somebody about this, and it's anywhere between 10 and 15 grand.
To put it on?
Just production costs, right?
Like the cameras?
Like everything.
Install
like that.
Install light, wires, everything.
But Sky's a hell lot more expensive to put more cameras in.
Yeah. So, for example, a game at the Qatar World Cup cost about £8 million to put on.
Per game?
Per game.
Per game?
Per game. It's a lot of money.
Gee.
But obviously the you know.
John, go and text your brother and just ask him, on average, what is it the cost for a Premiership game?
I shall ask that.
Yeah. I would say a couple of hundred thousand or something.
Yeah, I would have thought that.
I'd say something like that. The Premier League will be more down south, I would imagine. The costs do... I mean, it's as much as you want. Like with spider cams and
all that stuff as well.
Like, I think... It's not cheap to put on football matches. If you want to do it properly and if you want to do it well.
So his idea... On paper, reads well, but when you throw everything else that goes into it, that's where the difficulty comes.
I also think, and I don't think you'd find anyone disagreeing with this, I don't think that Scottish football needs more teams. And that would put up to 56 teams, and we've got 42 currently. And we've spoken many times on this. I don't think we need 56 teams in our...
I do like the idea of an 18-team top division.
So do I, and like I feel like we speak about this like periodically every so often, and
it's kind of boring because it's never going to change.
No.
It's never, ever, ever going to change, and the only way it'll change is when Celtic and Rangers bugger off, and that's not going to happen anytime soon.
That's not necessarily true. You would just need to change the voting structure, and I think once the voting structure
To vote through the voting structure, you still need to get 11-1.
Yeah, and thank you to Aberdeen for screwing that up for everyone.
I did some research on that.
Yeah, so when obviously Rangers had their financial meltdown...
And they had a chance, and Aberdeen sided with Celtic!
And Aberdeen sided with Celtic.
One opportunity for us to take control.
Yep.
For the rest of Scottish football to take control, then Aberdeen went, nah, we'll do what Rangers did and we'll side with Celtic.
Yeah.
I remember it at the time, but when I look back on that now, we missed a golden opportunity there for the rest of Scottish football to take control of our own game.
Yeah.
And here we are back to square one with the big two calling the shots because they always go in it together.
Yeah.
Aberdeen! Aberdeen!
I know.
Aberdeen!
I mean, I think more specifically Stuart.
I had a health check this morning in the office and I was told that my blood pressure was a tiny wee bit high. It's because of fucking Aberdeen.
I think Stuart Milne, I think, can take most of the blame for that.
Stuart Milne! Yeah!
Anyway, the crisp game, as we mentioned earlier on, coming up a wee bit later on with Scotty Brandon, their brilliant new beetroot chips. Sarah says, love the podcast as always. As someone with self-diagnosed misophonia, the crisp game. Oh, my God. New suggestion for the name of the crisp game, Chip Charnley. It was Big Guy who suggested that. Thank you, Big Guy. We'll do that later on. And in case you missed it, misophonia is a disorder which certain sounds trigger emotional or psychological responses that some might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstances. Those who have misophonia might describe it as when a sound drives you crazy. Their reactions can range from anger, annoyance, to panic, and the need to flee. Right, okay. Let's run through some of the stories from this week. Obviously, Scotland squad finalised for the Euros.
Yes.
Let's start with that. So, Craig Gordon out, John Souter out, Lewis Morgan in, Ben Doak out through injury as well. We already knew that Lyndon Dykes is out too.
Tommy Conway came in.
Tommy Conway also added to the squad. Are you fairly happy with that?
Yeah, very happy.
You think right decision to leave out Souter and Gordon?
Remember, we had a debate a couple of months ago about who comes in and who goes out and all that. And I did say at the time, as much as I love Craig Gordon, I did say it would have been unfair on the Motherwell keeper for him playing all season and to get dropped.
Also, I want to just actually mention Liam Kelly. So what he's done is he has signed a new like month contract
at
Motherwell so that Motherwell get the money from UEFA.
Yeah.
So I think absolutely fair play to Liam Kelly. I think that's very, very good. So I think at the last years it worked out about 130, 140 grand per person.
Per person.
You know, that's probably a couple of players.
Yeah.
So
that's so good.
So I think, fair play to Liam Kelly there. Lewis Morgan getting called up as well.
I like him.
Doing well. I think it's 9 goals and 4 assists so far this season in the MLS.
He's properly fit because the season's just started there.
Precisely. So he's there or thereabouts. Ryan Gold has been mentioned so many times by various Scotland fans. I mean, Steve
Clark, a midfielder, and we've got loads of them.
Well, he's not really a midfielder. He's
like a number 10 midfielder.
He's been playing up front this season.
Well, not a striker. He played like the Christie role, the John McGinn role.
So, no, listen, I'm not advocating. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I watch loads of Ryan Gold, but Stevie Clark just clearly doesn't fancy him. Otherwise, he's not even had a sniff.
See, the Ryan Gold videos that I see are really good, but you could put videos together of me on this podcast and I am up there with the very best. I'm up there with Frost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up there with what other great interviewers and people are there? Michael Parkinson.
I thought Michael Parkinson was a terrible interviewer.
Okay, maybe know him then. But that's what I'm saying. You could put together a montage of me and you'll just think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. But that's the same with Ryan Gold. I don't really watch enough of him. And I would never take any notice
of do you watch loads of Lewis Morgan?
No, but I liked his goals.
And the compilation clips that you've seen.
And the feedback from the team that he plays for. Who's that again? New York Red Bulls.
New York Red Bulls, I believe, yeah.
It's Red Bulls, isn't it?
It's Red Bulls. Uh-huh.
And the fans love him dearly. He's well respected, well loved. Things that I've read about him are very, very good. And he's the type of player we need. He's got a bit of pace. Ryan Gold doesn't have that pace, and I think that's what we've been lacking. And I think he offers us that from the bench when we probably need it.
Right.
So I could see him getting some game time if it's not going our way or if we need a goal, because he could.
I mean,
played in the wings.
Ryan Gold, 16 appearances, 7 goals and 3 assists. So it's not quite as good as Lewis Morgan's.
No, it's not.
It's not far away.
No, he's a good player, but I think he doesn't get ahead of the midfielders that we've got just now, as an attacking midfielders.
Fair enough. Gibraltar last Monday.
Don't care.
Finland, Friday night. I mean, the only thing I would say about that is, and you made the same point when we were talking on the big Saturday football show, that we would have won that game had we not made all the changes.
Yeah.
So
we'd have won it comfortably. We made loads of changes, then we were all over the place and disorganised and nobody knows what they're doing, and we draw 2-2. The big decision for Stevie Clark this coming Friday when we play Germany, I think it's three positions. Who is the centre half alongside Tierney and Hanley? I think he plays Hanley. I think he plays him in the middle of the three. I think he's a no-nonsense defender. And I think you put Porteous alongside him.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes a right-footed centre-back. Hanley's your centre-back and your left centre-back is Tierney. That's for me. So that's where he's got a decision to make in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be Hendry or Porteous, that's for me. And then he's got the midfield dilemma. Does he go with Gilmore or does he go with Christie? And for me, he goes with Christie. McTominay's fit.
If McTominay's fit,
it'll be Christie
I was trying to look earlier on. They're holding an open training session, like as we're recording this, at their base in Bavaria, and I couldn't see McTominay, so I don't know.
I think they've wrapped him up in cotton wool, hoping he'll be okay for Friday. And the other big question for Stevie Clark to answer is who plays up top. Is it Shankland or is it Shea Adams? Now, I'd suggested to you, I think it was on Saturday, that I've got a funny feeling that Stevie Clark is wrapping Shea Adams up in cotton wool because he was injured.
There's a lot of cotton wool getting used.
There's a lot of cotton wool being used here because Shea Adams was injured towards the end of the season for Southampton and he only made a cameo appearance in the playoff final against Leeds United. He hadn't played much football before that. So I think there's clearly a wee concern there about Shea Adams' fitness. And that's why he's not played so much in these warm-up games. I know he came on against Gibraltar and scored a good goal, but he didn't appear at all against Finland. And that would suggest to me that they're keeping him fresh and fit and not risking him. And I think he will start. As much as I think I would love Shanklin to start, and that's not me saying that with my heart's hat on my head, I'm not. Because I think...
I think you're right. Adam starts.
I think Adam starts. But the reason I was that I choose Shanklin is that chances will be few and far between. Who's more likely to score that chance? Well, is it Adams or is it Shanklin? And for me, if we get half a chance, I would have money on Shanklin scoring the goal more so than Adams. That's the only reason why I would start him, for that reason. Because I think chances will be at a premium and you want your best man to get that chance. I thought he was very good against Finland. I thought he made some cracking runs. His link-up play is very good. He comes deep. He flicks it around the corner. And for me, the chances that we created against Gibraltar never fell to Lauren Shanklin. He had one chance in the first half. But apart from that...
But you just said if you've got one chance, you want it to fall to Lauren
Shanklin. Yeah, no, but it was bouncing. He hit it from 18 yards first time. But it wasn't a chance. But I'm saying it's like a half a chance from 18 yards. And he hit it on his right foot and it went over the bar.
Okay.
I just think that the chances it fell to Hanley in that game against Gibraltar, to Christie in that game, to Gilmore, I think Shanklin scores at least one or two of them, in my opinion. So I think that's a tough call.
But we're not going to get that many chances against Gibraltar.
But I think you're right. And I think it will be Adams. I think it will be Adams. And we'll have super sub come off the bench and hopefully get us an equaliser or a winner against Germany.
Listen, I'd be happy with that. And I think Lauren Shanklin has probably got a big part to play at the Euros.
Oh, I agree.
But I think Adams will start. Interesting what you said about the midfield, though. Gilmore or Christie, assuming that McTominay is fit, obviously.
Yes.
So you think that Christie will get the nod over Gilmore?
Alongside McGregor.
And
McGinn and McTominay and Adams.
Yeah.
It'll be the... We'll be up top. The reason I go with Christie is I love Gilmore and I love McGregor, but they're very similar players. They're very good at holding on to the ball. They're very good at keeping possession, but they're not the most creative in the middle of the park. We need somebody with a wee bit of nous, and Christie's been playing in that position that Gilmore's playing just now for Scotland, for Bournemouth, and he's been sensational. The fans love him, and he's found a new role within Bournemouth that I think we could utilise for Scotland, and he's got that creativity which we don't really have without him.
I think what you get with Christie is you get legs. He covers a lot of ground.
It's box to box.
And we're going to have to cover a lot of ground on Friday night against Germany. I'd said this on Saturday. I think that Steve Clarke will be going into this game playing like how we did against England at Wembley a few years ago. I think that will be his aim. If we can stop Germany and maybe nick something.
But yes.
If we get a draw on Friday night, that is an absolutely brilliant start to the Euros, because it basically means, and it's easier said than done, obviously, if we beat either Switzerland or Hungary, we're through.
Yes.
So
4 points guarantees you a place in the knockout stages.
4 points is what we're aiming for. And I think that's what Steve Clarke is aiming for. So I think Friday night, we're not going to do anything expansive on Friday night. It'll be a classic Steve Clarke defensive performance. If there's one man who can grind out a draw, then I think it's Steve Clarke. We're not going to be doing anything expansive, I don't think, on Friday night. And we'll be sitting fairly deep. That's why I think you're right. I think Hanley will play.
Yeah. Porteous, I think, will play.
I think Porteous will play as well.
I think Hendry's the one that misses out for me.
And the reason I think Christie plays is because he can cover more ground.
Aye.
I think Gilmore will come on, and I think Gilmore's great at coming on. He's obviously great at retaining the ball.
Yeah.
Now, that's the problem that we've got. But I almost think Steve Clarke will just be like, you just have the ball.
Yeah.
We don't even need to keep the ball.
What we need to do is that they're going to start with Toni Kroos from Real Madrid and Gundogan.
Yeah.
If we can keep them quiet, what a chance we've got. We have to keep them quiet. And as you say, to keep them quiet, you need legs in the midfield. Now, my biggest concern is we're also going to be playing a 3-5-2-1 type formation.
Are we adding an extra player in?
3-4-2-1. 3-4-2-1.
I mean, it would help if we played with 12 players. I know. I think that would give us an advantage.
My biggest concern is in behind fullbacks because they play wide. They've got Musalia on one side and they've got Wirtz on the other. But then Sané can come in as well. They've got Kai Havertz. They've got the boy Faulkner, who was the striker at Borussia Dortmund. But he's a strong physical player, very good in air, which is why I think he'll go with Hanley for those crosses that might be coming in from Musalia or from Wirtz. So, but if we get it right on the flanks and don't allow them to get possession in dangerous areas to whip in those crosses for the Borussia Dortmund striker, we actually have a chance of getting something from the game.
So, interesting that you said that there's three big decisions that Steve Clark needs to make. 3 or 4 weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, when the squad was announced, you were having a meltdown because Anthony Ralston or McCrory were going to be playing on the right hand side.
Well, for me,
and producer John will back this up here. I said it will be McCrory or Ralston.
There is
playing on the right hand side. Ralston, from what I gathered on Friday, I didn't see
he was solid.
In full was solid.
Solid. Absolutely solid. No, Stephen, the reason is because he hasn't played that much for Celtic at all this campaign, and you're asking a boy to come in to play against Germany, Hungary and Switzerland. You've got the boy McCrory had a shocking start to the campaign at Bristol City, and I wasn't overly happy that they would start in the Euros. And what I said and what I thought that Steve Clark might consider is moving Tierney over there because he's better defensively, he's quick, he's played a lot of games, he's part of the Scotland setup and has been part of the Scotland
Tierney's
setup.
He's barely played this season either.
No, but I'm saying in regards to Scotland setup and his man.
You always say, why is he putting square pegs in round holes? So why is he moving Tierney from a position that works to
Aaron,
a position?
Aaron Hickey's the same. He's a left
Aaron
back.
Aaron Hickey's not in the equation.
But I didn't mind when he did that with Aaron Hickey because defensively he's really good.
Yeah, I think Aaron Hickey's on a different plane to Anthony Ralston and McCrory. But you always have a go at Steve Clark for putting players out of position.
Particularly when it comes to the midfield and forward areas.
Right, so it doesn't matter defensively.
Because Aaron Hickey's been great there defensively.
Aaron Hickey's a really good player, is almost two-footed.
But Steve Cowan, who we worked with in the Big Saturday Football Show, whenever we watched Scotland when Hickey was playing, it was always really annoying and it stopped momentum because he'd always have to cut back on his left foot.
That would be the exact same situation that you would want to play with Tierney.
That's my point. Just if Hickey did such a good job defensively, but we did lose something in regards to him hitting the byline because he couldn't do it. And that's why I was saying, do we go with Tierney at right back because he's solid defensively and he's still dangerous going forward because of his pace.
There is more chance of me playing right back on Friday night than Kieran Tierney playing at
right
back.
I just hope that Ralston or McCrory are not showing up. That was my concern. And we'll find out whether Wirtz and Musalé or Sané rip us to shreds down that flank. They'll look at that as being a weak spot because it's going to be two players in there, and I think it'll probably be Ralston, who have played very little football, not got that much experience, and it's a massive game. I can see Wirtz, and I watch Wirtz against the Ukraine. Jesus Christ, this boy's some player. And I just fear that's where they're going to attack us, and I hope Ralston's up to it.
To be fair, though, even if Hickey was playing at right back or Patterson, I'd have still had the same worries because he's playing against a really, really, really good player. Wirtz is a great player.
Yeah, but Patterson...
And so is Musiala.
But for me, Patterson...
So is Leroy Sané.
But for me, Patterson and Hickey have been there and done it. They've been in the Scotland setup and they're playing games.
I get that, but like...
We'll see. I hope Ralston, who I thought was solid against Finland, is as solid against Germany. And if he's as solid as he was against Finland and he is with Germany, then he's kept Wirtz very quiet.
I think Clark, you know, you can only piss with the cock you've got, as they say. And that's what he's got in terms of his choices at right back. So I hope that Anthony Ralston has a cracking game on Friday night.
Same here. And then he's up against Zubair of Switzerland in the next game.
But Ewan, we're at the Euros. We're going to be playing decent players. There's decent players in every team.
I know.
And then, you know, like Switzerland, the big Swiss football podcast will be sitting, oh, well, you know, we're going up against John McGinn and Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's other.
Give me a draw, 0-0 with no shots on goal, and I'll be dancing up and down the streets of Scotland.
I would absolutely take that. I think it's going to be a really tough game on Friday night. Really tough game.
Should we make our predictions now for all three games before you leave?
Let's do that then. Let's do that.
Oh, I'm scared to do this now.
I'm away on Wednesday. Right.
So you can keep a log of this, John, and then you can haunt us with it when the Euros are over and done with.
Do you want to give a heart prediction and a head prediction?
Let's do that then.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do heart and head.
Okay.
So a wee bit of music here would be good while we think this through.
On our podcast.
Heart and head. So, Germany, Scotland. Find a bit of music for us, John, while we do this.
Okay. Hungary.
Head.
I've done it the wrong way around. I'll start again.
What do you mean you've done it the wrong way around?
Do you need more music?
Yeah, keep going, mate.
More music, please. Yeah, thank you.
Try and work out how to do a table for this. Head, heart, you and Stephen, and you'll have to find it.
So
Germany.
Two separate tables.
Yeah. Or just the same table with a line down the middle.
Yeah.
Right, I've got my head and heart results.
Right, I'm nearly there.
Heart.
Okay.
Germany. This is a great week. I like making a table.
Give me a wee bit more music.
Jesus, Stephen!
Try and think for this. Right.
You sorted?
Yeah, I'm sorted. Right, let's start with Germany.
So we're going with heart first.
We'll go with heart first.
Okay, my heart tells me Germany 1, Scotland 1.
Okay, my heart goes with Germany 0, Scotland 0.
Okay.
0-0 for Stephen.
Yeah.
2-1 for you, Ewan. Did you say?
1-1. 1-1. Germany 1, Scotland 1. That's what my heart tells me.
Okay.
Heart tells me for Switzerland versus Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Switzerland 0, Scotland 1.
Okay. I've gone for heart, Scotland 2, Switzerland 1.
Oh.
2-1.
I've gone 1-0, Scotland.
Okay, and the final game, hungry for your heart?
The Bruce Springsteen party.
I'm going Hungary 1, Scotland 1.
That's your heart?
That's my heart.
I'll go heart, Hungary, 0.
Because I think we already know we've qualified by getting 4 points in our first two. We'll ease up on that, and Hungary will need a result of some sort to try and get themselves into the knockout stages. So I've gone 1-1.
But that's you using your head.
That's my heart.
No, but you've just used your head for that calculation.
But it was frame my heart first.
No, it wasn't. You've just absolutely buggered this up.
That's my heart. It's 1-1.
You're in your heart, you hope it's a 1-1 draw.
No, in my heart, I think it will be 1-1.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think it will be 1-1.
Fine, I'll go Scotland 2, Hungary 0, in my heart.
Head.
Right.
Germany 2, Scotland 0.
Okay.
I hate to admit that. I do think that Germany will beat us on Friday night.
Head. I'm going Germany 3, Scotland 1.
The second game, huge game, cannot lose it. Head tells me we'll get something from the game, but we won't win it. I think it's 1-1.
I have also gone for 1-1 for Scotland versus Switzerland with my head.
And then it'll all come down to the big final game against Hungary, whether or not we qualify for the knockout stages the first time in our history. And I think it'll be a cracking game, and I don't see us making mistakes we've made in the past, whether it be against Holland, whether it be against Morocco or whoever. I think we win it 2-1. I think it'll be Hungary 1, Scotland 2.
I think my head is saying Scotland 1, Hungary 0, and we qualify for the last 16.
The last game will decide it.
Yeah. I think it'll go down to the last game.
I think it'll go down to the last game as well. So we're both on the same page then.
Yeah, which is a bad page to be on. Right. Right, okay, also John McGinn dancing.
To the Oompa Band.
The Oompa Band last night.
That was very good.
All the Lederhosen and all the rest of it. I mean, I was concerned. I was like, please don't injure yourself.
I thought he was going to like strain his calf or something.
I know, but I was like, very good.
What if Stevie Clark was standing there going, oh, for fuck's sake?
Well, he was actually at the side and he was laughing.
Oh, was he? Like, he wasn't concerned about an injury.
Even Steve Clark found it funny, so it must have been funny. So, yeah, but then he was probably like, that's enough now, so get back. So, I mean, I think it was good. It looks like the team are in good spirits.
Yes, they
and,
are.
And there's a good feel-good atmosphere.
There's a good camaraderie.
Camaraderie in the camp, so yes.
What does that word mean?
I think it's probably a French word for sort of
go and like Google that.
Camaraderie.
How would you spell camaraderie? K is it no K is it C A?
A bad start.
C A cap cam cam is it camaraderie? No,
it is C A M A R A D E R I E.
I've got the meaning, but I don't know where it came from.
Go on, tell me.
A feeling of trust and friendship among a group of people who have usually known each other for a long time or gone through some kind of experience together. And
oh, that's just a perfect word for the Scotland team.
That is.
So it comes from the French camarade, which I did say. And it just basically means companion.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Friend or associate.
Yeah.
Which is camarade, and then camaraderie would be friendship or companionship, I would imagine. Right, anyway, enough of Dictionary Corner. And a couple of other wee things to mention. In Scottish football, David Gray has been appointed permanent head coach at Hibs.
That's not going to last.
Ewan Cameron.
That's not going to last. That's not going to last. It's Barry Robson, Mark II.
Can it not be Stephen A. Smith, Mark II, who's done a really good job? Same sort of...
Is lightning going to strike twice? Very rarely does. Very rarely does.
I think the chances of doing a good job in football are slightly more...
Can I just ask you the question? Was David Gray not part of the backroom staff for how many managers that got sacked in recent years?
Was Stephen A. Smith not part of the backroom staff? Robin Nielsen
he was,
got sacked?
No, he was a like, junior... guy or something.
Well, David Gray was a senior guy, was he?
I have no idea what David Gray's job was. I've just, listen, maybe it took so long to appoint him. Maybe the people they really wanted, they couldn't get, and he was like the last option.
Well, I mean, you sat here and said it was going to be Derek McInnes.
It had to be Derek McInnes.
But it was never going to be Derek McInnes.
But it had to be. They should have moved heaven and earth to get Derek McInnes. So
Derek McInnes was never going to leave Kilmarnock to go to Hibs.
That's fine, but what I'm saying is they should have moved heaven and earth to try and get him or somebody of that experience.
It was always going to be somebody like David Gray.
Not Wisney.
On the basis that they've appointed Malky Mackay as the director of football. Derek McInnes was never going to work under Malky Mackay. Somebody with experience is never going to work under Malky Mackay.
So as soon as Malky Mackay was appointed, the senior professional managers that they probably targeted all went getty.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably. You're probably right, actually.
Yeah, I think I am. So David Gray in at Hibs, obviously, is an absolute club legend. I do tend to agree with you. These things rarely work out.
Right, see Malky Mackay?
Yeah.
He'll be happy with that appointment because he knows by Christmas he'll be in the manager's position looking after things.
You think?
I just don't see it working out. I just can't see it works out.
And the thing is, it's going to be a sad ending, I do think. I mean, most managerial jobs end up being sad endings.
Look at Stevie Hamill at Motherwell. He tarnished his legacy.
We had Stevie Crawford at Dunfermline, who, to be fair, did resign.
But he tarnished his legacy.
I don't think he tarnished his legacy. He got us into the playoffs, but it wasn't great football that we were playing and stuff like that. He's a really nice guy, and he'll always have a special place in the hearts of Dunfermline fans. And I'm sure David Gray still will be, regardless of what happens. And they'll obviously be hoping that it works out well. But these things,
I hope it does. I like David Gray. He's a lovely guy.
These things rarely do. Inverness teetering on the brink.
Oh, what a shame this is.
By the looks of it. So, chairman gone, looks like Scott Gardner, just about gone.
I like
CEO
Scott
as well.
A
lot of Inverness fans absolutely do not like Scott. And
used to be a heart, Scott.
The move to Fife, their training ground is off.
Yeah.
That's off the table now, so that's all gone down the Swanee.
Because they can't afford the bus fare down.
They can't afford much. No. There's a big hole in their finances, Inverness, and they're a bit of a mess. This is the same team who got to the Scottish Cup final last season.
Yeah.
The season before that, they got to the playoff final.
Yes.
They were, you know, 90 minutes away from the Premiership, and now they're in League One, staring administration at the face. I do feel sorry for the supporters, as always.
Are they going to go under?
I really, really, really hope not, because I think I like Inverness, and I like the fact that, you know, there's always been a sort of, or the last 20 years or so, there's been a strong team in the Highlands. I think that's important. But, you know, it's just a bit of a mess, and, you know,
I don't see how they get out of it.
Who's putting money into football clubs at that level?
And League One? Nah.
It's going to be really tough for them.
Fingers crossed.
So, yeah, hopefully Inverness can get themselves out of that. Right, okay, we've got some transfer rumours.
Have we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, where's... Hold on.
So let's go over to Mr. Jim White, and a special shout out to Dale Boy on Twitter, who loves this segment of the show.
He doesn't.
He says, "Do it every week, guys. It really is a highlight." And thank you, Dale. Thank you. Right, over to Ewan Cameron, who's got some transfer rumours for us.
The sarcasm oozing out of you, Jim.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ewan.
Dale doesn't like Jim White.
Listen, Dale Boy. Dale Bahoy, actually, and I believe he might be a Celtic fan.
Oh, okay. Let's. Oh, is he a Celtic fan? Right. Anyway, let's go through some of the transfer rumours. Lecce.
That's in Italy.
Yeah, and that's. It was like that woman who found a pool boy. She was leching. Anyway, Lecce.
Just do the transfer rumours, Ian.
Lecce and recently relegated Frosinone. Sounds like an ice cream. Are set to be battling for Celtic's Lager Bielka's signature with Naroki.
Lager Bielka?
Aye. Could be on his way.
Could be on his way. Where to, though?
Well, Naroki could be on his way back to Legia Warsaw. As for Lager Bielka.
Naroki?
Naroki.
One of my favourite franchise films. Really good.
Rangers will reportedly...
I never thought he would win that first fight, but my God, what a performance he put up. Hopefully we'll get him on the show one day. Great guy.
Rangers will reportedly be made to wait if they're going to sign Abdullah Seema on a permanent deal this summer. Now,
well, just need to see how that goes.
Aye. Brighton bought him. I think he was it 10 million they paid for him?
Something like that. Yeah. It was a lot of money. A lot of money.
But they don't know what the situation is with Seema because De Zebri has gone and haven't yet replaced the manager at Brighton.
It looks like they're appointing the St. Pauli manager, I believe. Brighton.
Oh, the German boy who got them promotion.
Just got them promoted. He's only 31. He's just a young pup. He's younger than you and I. Unbelievable.
Is the manager only 31?
31 years old. That means he was born in 1993. I can remember 1993. Can you, Ewan?
I can remember it.
Great.
I was a single man.
A single man, right. Anyway.
And I was DJing in nightclubs. It is claimed that Brighton will make a call on Seema once they appoint their manager, who is possibly going to be...
The St. Pauli manager. He's only 31 years old. He was born in 1993.
If Rangers were to get Abdullah Seema, that would be a very good signing. Hibs are eyeing up Scotland under 21 goalkeeper Kieran Slicker.
What a name that is. What a name, a city slicker. He'll come to Edinburgh. He will be a city slicker.
Very good. I used to use Brill Cream back in the day. That was very slick.
Brill Cream?
So you use Brill Cream on
your hair?
Aye. Did you ever use Brill Cream on your hair?
No, because I'm not from the 1950s. Anyway, let's move on.
We're moving on. So, yes, Kieran Slicker could be at Hibs. Kilmarnock are also among the other Premiership clubs keeping an eye on the Ipswich Town.
Great stuff, Ewan. We've already covered that, so let's move on.
Tom Lawrence is the second Rangers star linked with a summer move to Besiktas.
That's because my old friend Gio Van Bronckhorst, what a player he was, and of course, fondly remembered at Ibrox. And he is now the manager of Besiktas, which is in Turkey, which is also in Istanbul, formerly known as Constantinople.
Well, it would appear as though Giovanni Van Bronckhorst would like to sign Tom Lawrence. I think that would be a mistake from Rangers because I still think he is a good player. He's got something to offer. Especially
he's permanently injured, Ewan.
That's a problem,
he's
I know.
He's made of chocolate.
Yes.
He just melts. Celtics, what's your favourite chocolate, Ewan?
Favourite chocolate?
If I was to pin you down.
A lion bar.
A lion bar?
Yeah.
Because it makes you roar like a lion in the bedroom.
Rawr.
Excellent.
Celtic's pursuit of Kelleher has been boosted with reports that Liverpool will line up a replacement for the Irish stopper as they look to line up Burnley's James Trafford. He won't come cheap, though, with some reports quoting £20 million for Kelleher.
James Trafford, of course. who played with Manchester City.
Not for Kelleher. It's Trafford will be 20
Trafford
million.
Trafford will be 20 million. Yeah. Kelleher's gone. He's up the road.
Swansea City are considering a £500,000 move for St Johnstone forward Adama Sidibe.
Sidibe, of course. He scored an overhead kick. That's when you kick the ball over your head.
And Japanese club Urawa Red Diamonds have been linked with a sensational...
Sorry, what was the name of the Japanese club, Ewan?
Urawa Red Diamonds have
been linked... Well done, we got there.
...with a sensational move for Kyogo this summer.
You managed to get that right as well. You're on a roll.
It's because I can read it in front of me.
Because it's written down.
Though the Celtic striker has apparently said that might not be happening. It says he wants to stay at Celtic.
I think Kyogo will be back to Japan.
I saw stuff on Twitter saying he's going. Celtic are going to want 20, 25 million for him. Well, if Kyogo's 20 million and Miyoski's 40 million, he's 4 or 5 years younger and he's been lighting up the Premier League.
You're just talking funny money now, Ewan.
No, I'm saying if Celtic are quoting 20 million.
I can quote whatever I want. Do you want to buy my house for £14 million? No, it's a 2-bedroom flat. What do you want to buy that for? Right, thank you very much for the transfer rumours. We'll see you later on.
Cheers.
Jimbo, and that was dedicated to Dale Boy. Hope you enjoyed that, Dale Bahoy. Right,
can we get back? If you were selling Kyogo.
I'd sell him for $7 million.
What's Miyoski?
Probably similar.
The reason I was saying...
I do think you're right, like with the age and stuff. Like I think that Kyogo, I'll be back to Japan, I think.
You think he'll go this summer?
Yeah. I don't think... I think Brendan Rodgers thinks he's a good player. I don't think he didn't have a great season. I don't think that's down to Kyogo being a bad player at all, but I just don't think...
Not Rodgers type of player, is he?
No. I don't think he is. And I think if they get a good offer for him this summer, he'll be off ski. Right, a song for the Euros. Everyone is releasing a song for the Euros.
I hate these songs.
So do you.
I'm not a fan at all. And I know that I'm involved in one, but it's not actually a Euros song.
I mean, it's being released for the Euros.
But it's not really.
Well, it kind of is.
We'll get to that in just a second. I'll explain it.
We're going to judge them out of five on chantability, Scottability, and musicability. Okay, so we're going to decide which ones are the best here. So, first up, we've got the Pepper Potts and We Are Scotland.
We are Scotland. Jeez. We'll drink your beer. We are Scotland.
We are Scotland.
I've had enough.
So they've been together for 42 years. They're from Arbroath, the Pepper Potts. So chantability, 1 out of 5?
One.
Scottability? It's Scottish.
It's 3.
3. And musicability. The actual, you know, the singing, the musical composition.
The musicality of it. A 2. So you adding these scores up?
Yeah. So that's
Are you going to give a score as well? Or is it just me?
Do you want me to give a score?
You give a score as well for each category. Then we'll have a grand total.
1, 3, and 1. So that is 6 for you and 5 for me. So that's a total score of 11 for the Pepper Potts.
Okay.
Pepper Potts.
Out of 5. Out of 20.
Okay.
Out of 10. Out of 20. What is it?
30.
Are we doing it out of 5 or are we doing it out of 10?
Out of 5.
Yeah,
out of 5.
Yeah,
so that's...
11 out of
30. 11 out of
30.
The Tartan Specials, who I believe have a version of We'll Be Coming. That's where I know them from. So this is Germany, Na Na Na.
I've had enough. Jesus.
Right. Okay.
Where have you found these songs?
These are all getting released.
Are they?
Right. Chantability.
See, Germany chantability is good, right. But they sound
depressed.
No.
But I'm just saying, we'll get to that. The music.
3
for chantability.
No, for Germany. I'll give it a 4.
Give it a 4.
Out of 5.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 5.
For sharp.
No, for chantability.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's... You know, it's
Germany.
What they've done is they've taken a chant and made it into a song.
Okay.
So it's good chantability. Scottability.
Well, it's a lot, they shout Germany a lot, so one.
One for that. I'll give it a three, because it's quite Scottish.
Four and a one for me. Four plus one.
And music ability.
Three.
Yeah, three. I'll give it a two.
So 5, 8 for me.
And what was that for me? So that was 8, 10. So what's that? What'd you say?
18.
18.
Out of 30.
Right. 18 out of 30 for the Tartan Specials. Right. We've got Nathan Evans and St. Phoenix. This is their tune, Home. And there's a place I know. There's magic where the flowers grow. And beauty where the rivers flow. Up over hills and country roads. Scotland is a place called home.
Okay, I don't know.
Chant ability?
None.
Zero.
Zero. There's zero chant ability in that.
I don't think there's much chant ability in that either. I'll give it a one. Scott ability? Why am I hearing music? Do you hear that?
I did. Some classical stuff. Scott Billy, well, it's very Scottish.
Right.
I mean, we could hear bagpipes and stuff. Was that bagpipes?
I think that must have been bagpipes.
Yeah.
What are you giving?
I'm giving that a four for Scott Billy.
I'll give it a four as well. Scottish. And music ability.
Two. I like the boys from St. Phoenix, and I like Nathan Evans, but
I'll give it a one.
That clip that you played, producer John, at the start, it sounded a wee bit like Delamitri and Don't Come Home Too Soon.
So that gives us a score of 12.
Oh,
that's actually above the Pepper Pots,
and rightly so, but not as good as the Tartan Specials.
So, I give it a one.
It actually lost lots of points there for not being what was the first one?
Chantability.
It missed doing that.
Okay, let's move on to the next one, which is PG Carlita.
Do we have to?
It's a GBX remix, this one as well. From Glasgow to Berlin.
Enough. Get off. Get off. Get off. Is it done?
Yeah, it's done now. Chant ability. Come on, he's a score out of five. You need to break up the song.
Right, we are going to break up the song.
Chant ability.
I just wish we couldn't break it.
Right.
I just wish we could break it. I mean, right. What I'm going to say here is this. Is it annoys the fuck out of me, right? It really annoys me.
Right. You annoy lots of people, though.
Yeah, so. I know, but I'm allowed an opinion. It really annoys me. And I think it really annoys me because it's a bit of an earworm and you kind of get out of your head, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
I'm going to your money.
Right, give us a score.
So what was the first thing?
Chantability.
Oh, there's no chantability there.
So zero.
It's minus one.
Minus one. Scott ability. I think it's probably quite high on Scott ability. Let's talk about Scotland and going to GBX
We're
is very Scottish.
We're going to score a goal. We're going to score.
Right.
Sounds like my 3-year-old wrote it.
Sounds like your 3-year-old speaking. You don't even have a 3-year-old. What are you talking about? You don't have a 3-year-old child. Why are you making up children? Right, Scott ability.
85.
Come on, it's not...
Two.
And music ability.
And the music ability's all right. I like the remix because it drowns out the voice. So...
That's a bit harsh. I don't think there's anything wrong with his voice. What are you giving it?
A four.
A four?
That's for George because I love George.
Right, okay. So 1, 2, 4, that is a seven. I've given it total a seven as well. So that's 14. So that puts it in second place.
Just that's it. Yeah. It's beaten Nathan Evans.
Right, some mob from Greatest Hits Radio.
I explain this before you go any further?
I'm going to explain it. I've got together with the Bay City Rollers. It's Shang-a-Lang 50.
Yeah, but...
And all the money is going to Cash for Kids, so... A good cause.
Yeah, it's a good cause. Tartan Army are involved. Right, I had enough, mate.
Hugh's had enough of his own song.
Yeah, I'm Shang-a-Lang do it, if I'm being honest. I've been working on this for 4 months. What I will say is this came about completely by accident. So the Bay City Rollers were in to see us in December of last year. And they said to us, just a throwaway line, oh, Shang-a-Lang is celebrating its 50th birthday in 2024. And we, me and Kat instantly went, well, re-release it. And re-release it around the Euros.
So it is a Euros re-release.
No, but it's more to do with the anniversary of Shang-a-Lang, but we thought...
But they could have done it in October.
But we didn't want to change the lyrics or anything, so we just got the Tartan Army to sing along to the chorus, Shang-a-Lang. So it's not like we're going to score the goals and all... We didn't change the lyrics. So it's a re-release of a classic song from 1974. It's the 50th anniversary of the song, and we've got the Tartan Army to sing along with the chorus. And we've released it as a celebration.
So it was released in April 1974. Why didn't you release it in April? If it's not a Euro song. Because that would have been 50 years.
We just connected it all together.
Right. So it's a big Euro song. Chantability.
Well, Shang-a-Lang. I mean, we sang Shang-a-Lang and we ran when the do bop a doobie doo ay.
So what you get?
It's a four.
A four?
That for chantability, 100% it's a four.
Okay.
Everyone knows it.
Scottish ability.
Oh, you can't get more Scottish than Shang-a-Lang.
Does it mention
Shang-a-Lang?
Does it mention Scotland in it?
It does. It's the Tartan Army at the end of the song. Scotland, Scotland. That's all in it.
Right.
It's part of the chorus.
So what are you giving that?
That's getting a four.
That's getting a four.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
For Scott ability.
Right. Okay. And music ability.
Well, I can't have a pop at the boy who produced the single, can I?
Well, you've just had a pop at everyone else, so...
Yeah, but I have to call it as I see it.
And mark your own homework. Yeah, that's what's happening here.
A four.
Right.
Four. Four, eight, 12. 12. 12 just for me.
Right.
So that's a 12 for that. So, and it's all for a great cause, remember, people.
Absolutely.
So on Friday when we released it, right, so it was on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere. And it turned out to be a number one song. And I said to John and Woody, the guys at the Bass Circle, I went, number one where? I haven't seen it at number one. It was number one in the rock chart. And at number two in the rock chart was Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi.
Right, okay.
So, but in the UK official chart, it did get to number 13.
So, I hate Shang-a-Lang.
We were above, we were above Nathan Evans and St. Phoenix. That's how big it was.
So... Overall score for that.
Do you not like Shang-a-Lang?
Is a 20.
Does your mum like Shang-a-Lang?
My mum absolutely loved the Bay City Rollers.
Oh, was she a fan? Did she have the tartan scarf and everything?
Used to run home for school to watch the TV show.
Oh, did she? That's amazing. Love your mum.
So
I've never met your mum.
Do we have another song, John? I think we do have another. What's the final song?
No, I didn't get the chance to get it off. But
thank God.
There we go.
We can all move on.
So who won?
The Bay City Rollers song. You gave it 16, and unless I gave it 0 in 2 of the counts, it was going to win.
So what did it get out of 30 in total?
20.
Brilliant. It's another victory for us. Amazing. And that was done with pure honesty. Cool. And what we think and what we... And
not, listen, not that can, honest.
Can I just say...
It should have been released in April.
Look, can I just say to the Pepper Potts, to the Tartan Specials, to St. Phoenix and Nathan Evans and PG. Good effort, but if I was marking your homework, must do better.
You're nuts. Right.
It's all a bit of fun and a bit of banter at the end of the day.
Let's put something in the bin, shall we?
Yeah.
Producer John, let's go.
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Right,
one of the Pepper Potts.
One of the most one of our most controversial selections. And actually, we got a bit of heat for this.
We did. It's nothing to do with us.
It's nothing to do with us. We didn't pick it. It was Mark Duff suggested that international football should go in the bin.
The amount of people that slagged me off for that.
It was nothing to do with it. We didn't pick it.
No.
We open it up for suggestions, and then somebody comes on and suggests something, and then it's down to you to back it or not.
So international football, I don't think Mark was hinting at European Championships or World Cups. I think he was just talking about friendlies and David, games that interrupt league matches.
David says, friendlies, aye, everything else not. I mean, there's hardly any friendlies anymore.
No, because it's Nations League.
Matondo prop. I can see where he's coming from. The only thing I would bin is the Nations League, but then you would have more friendlies. The Nations League was designed so that we don't have friendlies.
They're good games, the Nations League.
Roberto, the amount of friendlies, there's hardly any friendlies anymore.
Don't.
The only reason we're playing friendlies now is because they're warm-up matches for the tournament. There's hardly any friendlies that happen now.
Correct. Don't.
The whole reason the Nations League was invented was to take away friendlies and
make it competitive.
Let's not forget we qualified for the Euros through the Nations League.
Correct. Don't, mate. Don't let it rattle you. Don't let it rattle you.
No, but that's just a stupid thing to say.
Stephen,
the amount of friendlies, says Roberto.
I just had a health check and I'm looking at you. Your blood level's going, your blood pressure's going up. Calm, mate. Calm. Take a deep breath.
However, drink
more water.
He goes on to say, but our country getting to major tournaments is exciting and brings the majority of us together to support the team.
The majority? It should be all of us, not just majority.
Well, I think we know that is not the case. John says, Old Firm fans don't know who they support, so guaranteed they'll vote in the bin. That's what John says. I think he's suggesting that some Old Firm fans might not support Scotland.
Here's something that I noticed.
Which I don't think is that a controversial statement.
No, here's something that I noticed over the weekend, and it's doing my tits in. Is club loyalties and not just getting behind the country. See the amount of slagging that Lauren Shankly got the weekend, despite scoring a goal and playing well and getting the Man of the Match award.
There's also a lot
of Aberdeen, Hibs fans, Celtic fans from everywhere.
Just very quickly, because I can't be bothered giving it airtime. Nobody's booing Ryan Jack.
No, they're not. They're not.
Nobody's booing Ryan Jack.
I saw that again on Twitter at the weekend and I was like, what am I listening to here? What am I meant to hear?
Now, Scotland,
somebody posted a clip and it went viral and
But it was like,
I could hear some kids.
Ryan Jack wasn't on the pitch.
No.
Wasn't even on the pitch at
this stage.
Wasn't
even playing, but I heard some kids.
And the part that there was booing is because a Scotland player played a straight pass and it was in a promising position. Like, Ryan Jack's not getting booed. I'm not saying it's never happened in the past, because it has. Ian Black got booed back in the day as well.
He did, yes.
Gary McAllister.
Yes.
One of our finest players got booed.
Tartan Army, because of that miss against
that
England.
Miss at England. So, yeah. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but it didn't happen on Friday night.
No, it didn't.
And I think that, you know, you're searching for something that isn't there, and it's pathetic.
Cut it out. We're all in this together. We're a nation as one. We need to believe and get behind the country and stop all this pish club loyalty crap that I've been reading in the last few days. Get behind the players. Doesn't matter what team they play for or how many goals they've scored against you. Get behind the team. We're putting on a Scotland jersey. They're there to represent you, me, and the country.
I couldn't agree more, Ewan. Let's have a drum roll to find out whether international football is going in the bin.
Bet it is.
It's going in the bin with 64% of the vote.
64? Is it?
Can't really. You can't trust people's votes. So let's speak to Adam, who is going to give us this week's nomination. Is Adam on the line just now, Producer John? Adam, hello, how you doing?
Hiya.
How you doing? You all right?
I'm not bad, yourselves.
Good, what are you up to?
Not much, just having a wee bit of quiet time before I have to go and pick the bear nut for a childminder.
All right. What team do you support, Adam?
Rangers.
Okay. Rangers. So let me ask you then, we've just been talking about it there. When it comes to club loyalties.
Yep.
Would you not support Scotland because players from possibly Celtic are playing?
No.
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, because that's just daft, isn't it?
Aye.
So you back all the players and all the team and you want Scotland to do well?
Aye, absolutely.
Good lad.
I've cheered Scotland going more than the Griffiths free kicks.
Yeah, totally.
See, that day, that will live in infamy for me.
Oh, totally.
I wasn't at the game and I nearly knocked myself out by hitting my head off the ceiling.
I know, it was great. Adam, what are you putting in the bin?
Oh, referees. And if somebody absolutely smashes somebody in the first minute, or if it's a blatant pull of the jersey and they'll just wound the book on because it's either the first tackle or it's too early in the match. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it should be just refereed, the whole 90 minutes should be refereed the same, whether it's the first minute or the last minute. If somebody goes in with a leg breaker, it's a red or a yellow card.
Great point.
Okay.
You see it all the time on the telly. You hear the commentator saying, he's keeping his cards in his pocket because it's too early to book him. What a load of bullshit that is.
But then as soon as somebody gets booked and somebody does the same thing,
yes,
even if it's their first offence, they'll get booked after it as well. I think Celtic Rangers matches suffer from this more than most.
There's 100%.
Some really meaty challenges from both sides early on in matches, and the referee very, very, very rarely gives a yellow card early on. So you think straight from the start, you know, stamp his authority on the game. We're having none of this.
Yep, and if you have to end up having a game that ends up with four yellow cards, five red cards each, then maybe the players will learn the next game not to do that.
It's a great point. It's a really good point, mate. Gies, your prediction for Scotland? Will we get out of the group?
I think so. I think just.
I'm the same as you, mate. I think we'll just get out of it. I think it'll be tight, but I think we'll just get out of it.
Just is enough, Adam. Yes. Just is enough. Yep. Adam, listen, I hope you enjoy the Euros. Thank you very much for your nomination. Thank you. Thanks for being the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Cheers, mate.
Perfect. Thank you. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Adam.
There he goes. That is Adam with his nomination.
I wonder if Adam was named after Adam from He-Man.
Or Adam and the Ant. Adam Ant.
Oh, Prince Charming.
Prince Charming.
Prince Charming.
So you can get your votes in on social
nothing
media.
Nothing to be cared of. Prince Charming.
Not that we're taking
Prince
much.
Prince Charming.
Shut up. Not that we're giving much credence to your votes after this week's fucking disaster.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that, John? Where did that come from?
Right, Stephen.
It's like he forgot he was on a podcast. He's like sat in his living room just talking to himself.
I mean, 64% of people putting international football in the bin.
Like nowhere. I was singing Prince Charming. I was in a good mood and then you just come out
with
that.
Well, you put me in a bad mood because you were singing that and you're doing my tits.
Name me another song by Prince, by Adam and the Ants.
I can't. Okay.
Ant music.
Ant music.
Stand and deliver.
Stand and deliver. Money or your life.
Right, shut up, Ewan. We've got loads to do. So at Big Football Scott on Twitter, if you want to vote for that as well, we'll bring the results next week. There will be a podcast next week and the week after that as well. And just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard on YouTube. Leave your comments there. Obviously, anything that you want to leave with regards to anything that we've spoken about today. And a wee reminder: Gordon Duncan, Mark Wilson, and Gordon Diel are going to be live in Germany from Thursday night at the Euros. They're going to be live in Munich and then moving along to Cologne and then Stuttgart for the final game as well. They're going to be in the Scholars Lounge in Munich on Thursday and Friday. So if you're heading down or over, they're on the air from 7 p.m. German time and, of course, 6 p.m. UK time. So Big Scottish Football Show and the Big Scotland Football Show will be on the air from Scotland's biggest fan zone at East End Park on Friday night. Ewan Cameron, Steve Cowan are going to be there.
And guests.
And guests as well. We are on the air from 7 o'clock. I'm going to be jumping in from the Allianz Arena as well.
Good.
So that's going to be fun.
I'm going to be on stage in Dunfermline as well.
Yeah, we're getting things to chuck at Ewan on stage, obviously. That's going to be on 4th One West FM, TFM, MFR and North.
If I was in stocks, what would you throw at me? Don't say it. Say something soft. Don't say a brick.
I wasn't going to say a brick. I'd say
a rotten tomato.
A really small stone. Gravel. So that would annoy you more than anything. Say gravel.
Uh-huh.
Right, okay then. So make sure you've got us on this Friday night. Obviously, you'll have the TV coverage on as well, but have us on
in the background
for all the reaction in the background as well. And I'm just going to
We're doing it now.
Because it's time for Chip Charlie. Of course, this is with Scotty Brand and their brand new beetroot chips. I'm going for the cheese and onion flavour again.
I have in front of me.
Wait. You can't open them unless you get
sweet chilli.
Okay. No, don't open them.
Who are you, your mum? Are you my mum? No, you're
not. This is the whole point in the game.
No, your mum said it was all right for me to eat them.
Talk about my mum. They're very good. Right.
Who was it saying that they didn't like this part of the show? What was the girl's name? Something to do with misonomia or something. What was it, misonomia? Is that what
quite
it's called?
A few folk, right.
They don't like the crunching, do they?
You need to guess the...
But is this not like ASMR for people?
I doubt it.
Listen.
Right, Ewan, I'm just about to do that.
So go on, then. Hurry up. You need to name me players that are playing at the Euros.
Mm-hmm.
I need to guess what they are. Go.
Apple Whatful.
Say again.
Apple Whatful.
Oh, I've got that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you. There's a Belgium.
Mm-hmm. Apple Whatful.
Axel Witzel from Belgium. That was a good ding, that.
One for one. Well done.
Can I have some of the cheese and onion?
No. Okay.
Oh, your mouth up. Second player. Honestly, John, see when we play this next week, can you get me a bottle of Corona with a bit of lime and talk? So they'd be perfect for this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Put the music on, he said.
Mm-hmm. I'm not eating
it. What happened? You eating them as well?
Mm.
Have we got them in your car?
Okay.
What? He plays for Switzerland. I genuinely don't have a clue what you're talking about. Give me the country.
Serbia.
Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Fulham player, Aleksandar Mitrovic.
Aleksandar, his sister, yeah.
What's his name? Aleksandar.
He plays in Saudi Arabia now, but I know what you mean. Anyway, right, final one. Oh.
Oh. Do you want wet wipes? Oh, that's just disgusting watching that. Can animal, man. Look at your face. Go on, give us a third player.
Frankel.
His name's Frankel.
Frankel. Frankel.
Henry Frankel. Who's Henry Frankel? Very. Hairy.
Frankel.
Hairy.
Finkel.
Does he play with Switzerland? Is it Finkel? Is he Swedish? Is he Swedish? The Sweden aren't even there. He has sex. What?
Frimpong.
Oh! Former Celtic player. Jeremy Frimpong. Is that right?
That is right.
Did he get called up, did he?
Mm.
Do you know who I was surprised when they get a call up for the Spain squad? Porto at Spurs. They must have a good team if he doesn't get a game. Do you know the boy Porto at Spurs? I thought he was their best player this year. He didn't even get a call up for the Spain squad. I can't think. Who's their fullbacks at Spain that they can't even get Porto into that squad?
I don't know. I think Danny Carvajal's no bad, though.
True. I think Spain have got a great wee chance, by the way.
A great wee chance.
My dark horses are Spain and Portugal. I've actually got money on Portugal to win it. They're a good price at 8-1. In the two previous major tournaments, and Stephen will back me up on this, I had Italy win the Euros when it was played in England, and I got them at 91, and I had Argentina at 6-1 to win the World Cup. So I'm going for a hat-trick of victories for major tournaments, and I'm going to go for Portugal.
Okay, well.
Who do you fancy? To win it outright.
France.
They were poor the other night there against Canada. Drew 0-0.
Don't know. Anyway,
all is not well in the French camp because they don't like Deschamps and they're upset the way that he treated Saliba.
All right. What did he do to Saliba?
Called him out a couple of months ago.
For what?
He doesn't like him as a player.
He's in the squad.
I know, but he doesn't like him as a player, and it's reverberated.
Okay.
And you keep going with Canati, who's not having a good time.
Anyway, these are tremendous. They're Scotty brand. They're great. They're cheese and onion. He's got the Thai sweet chili ones. They also come in a third flavour as well, which is lime and coriander. And you can get them from your local Morrison's. Perfect for watching the football over the summer. Right, let's call Jose. We are very late. We're very late for calling Jose.
We're always late calling him. Why are we so late, John? It's your fault.
We're so late phoning him. Hope he answers. Jake, he'll even know it's the Euros.
He doesn't even like football.
No.
I want to ask him who he thinks will win the Euros. He probably doesn't even know who's qualified. No. It's too late, mate. You have to put the phone down.
I knew we were too late.
Way too late.
Way too late to phone Jose.
Right, cut him off.
Yeah, cut him off. Right, okay. Sorry, Jose. Let's play his wee tune, though. That's fine. Bye-bye, Jose.
Jose.
So the podcast is continuing for the next couple of weeks, even though I'm not going to be here. Ewan's going to have a guest host alongside
him. Can I phone you?
I'll
phone you, though.
Yeah, you can get me on the screen. You can get me on Zoom.
Let's do it on Zoom, then. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not staying for the whole podcast. I'll give you 5 minutes. You know, time is precious. Okay, let's
move. But you'll be in a hotel room or something. Are you sharing a room with somebody?
My wife.
Oh, is she with you?
Yeah.
For the full trip?
Yeah.
Is she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't realise she was going for a full trip. That's good.
It'd be nice to have a wife that likes your football, eh?
Aye.
That'd be quite nice. Nice wee trip over at the Euros.
Yeah.
You're a very lucky man.
Can we speak to your wife on the podcast next week?
No.
Well, she'll be in the room with you.
Let Ewan speak to your wife.
You two having breakfast in bed while we speak to you on the podcast. That would be lovely.
I don't think so. I don't think anyone wants to see that. So, right.
I'm not saying sit there naked. You wear your pyjamas.
Well, I don't wearing pyjamas.
You're not taking pyjamas
I'm
with you?
I'm not Wee Willy Winky.
With your wee hat on.
Go back to the start of the podcast. I've just got an image of Ewan and Stephen as the pool boy.
Stephen is the pool boy. And the valley of the hotel sat in the room
and watching
the husband and wife.
Okay, time for a quiz then. Shootout quiz.
What?
This is going to be the final one that I'll take part in
for
the next couple of weeks. If Scotland stay in the tournament, obviously we'll be back with another big Scottish football podcast.
Yes.
When
are you flying back?
Wednesday the 26th. So 2 weeks on Wednesday.
And when's the last 16 games?
That weekend into the following week, so possibly we will see.
Okay.
But for now, I'm defending my unbeaten record since the split, and Ewan's changed all the quizzes to try and make himself win.
Is it the Euros?
He's won specifically zero.
Is it a Euro quiz?
What are we doing this week?
We're just back to the straight shootout between you. Five questions.
Are the Euro questions or just football questions?
They're all Euro questions. Brilliant. We're going Euro daft.
By the way, we are going Euro daft, and this is a good point to tell you about our Scotland's Euro stories with the Scottish Sun. Roger Hannah have done a few interviews, and speaking to players who have played at 92, 96 and 2020. So episodes out already include Stephen O'Donnell, Declan Gallagher, Stuart McCall and Kevin Gallagher came out this morning. He was very good. And this week you'll be hearing from Braveheart himself, Colin Hendry, alongside Pat Nevin. And make sure you can get them in all your usual podcast places. It's on the Super Scoreboard feed as well, and it's also on YouTube. Go and check it out. Some really, really good stories. Stuart McCall on Friday was excellent. Right, over to producer John, who's the host of the quiz. Take it away, John.
Hey, right, okay. You know the rules, guys. Dead easy. You've got five questions in front of me, all on the Euros, and you just give me your answer by writing it down and shouting it out. Okay. Right, first question. Which Euro 2024 contenders are nicknamed the Tricolore? Which Euro 2024 contenders are nicknamed the Tricolore?
You mean Tricolor?
Tricolore. You say Tricolore, I say Tricolore.
No, I fucking clue.
Would you stop eating crisps now, Ewan?
Yeah, I'm going to have you a guess, right, okay. Bit more, yeah. You got an answer?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Go and read out again.
Which Euro 2024 contenders are nicknamed Tricolore or Tricolore, whatever way you want to pronounce it, spelt TRICOLORII. Not long to go on the timer, Ewan.
I've written down an answer.
You're writing down an answer?
Uh-huh.
Steve, you got an answer?
Yeah. I mean, I've got no idea.
Neither do I. What have you gone for?
I've gone for France.
France.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ewan?
I went for Spain.
Spain?
They don't have a... That's such a stupid answer on so many levels.
I know, right, okay.
So it's obviously going to be a country that's got three colours in their flag. Yes.
It's Romania.
Romania.
Yeah, right. Hadji going to the Euros as well.
He captained Romania the other night there.
Yeah, there you go. Right, both wrong. Question number two.
Do you know, wait. That's a stupid answer as well, actually, because they're called the Blues.
I know, right. Prick features here. Thinking he's so smart and clever, slagging me off for saying Spain. And it turned out it was fucking Romania.
No, but Romania have three colours in their flag.
Arse. So Spain, yellow and red, and is there a blue in there? I think there might be some blue.
No.
Is it just red and yellow?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No, I think there's a blue in the Spanish flag.
There's not.
Let me go and check.
There's not, definitely not a blue.
Listen, I'm not listening to you two muppets. I'm going to Google it. Before you get to question number two, Spain flag.
It's yellow and red.
I've just said it's yellow and red, but I think there's a bit of blue.
There's not a bit of blue.
No, there isn't.
Right, moving on. Right, okay. Which country hosted the Euro 2000 final? Which country hosted the Euro 2000 final?
Was that the Phil Neville game against Romania? That was the Phil Neville game against Romania. That was the Kevin Keegan era. That was when they got so jammy against us at Wembley. What? Where was that? I think I know.
You written down an answer, Ewan?
Yeah, I think I know. It's a Phil Neville game when he gave away the stupid penalty against Romania.
Steven, have you written down an answer?
Yep.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Just repeat the question one more time.
No, don't.
Which country hosted the Euro 2000 final?
Okay,
Steven.
It was the Netherlands.
You say the Netherlands, Ewan?
I think you're wrong. I think it's Portugal.
One of these is right.
Is that the one there where... Yeah, I think it's not Portugal.
No.
It is Stephen with the win there. It was the Netherlands because it was Belgium and the Netherlands obviously joint hosted the tournament.
And the final was at De Kuip, I think.
It was indeed. There we go.
When was Portugal?
2004.
Yeah.
That
was Rooney breaking through and then he broke his foot.
And was that game where Ronaldo does the wink when Beckham gets sent? No.
Nope, that was 2006. So we're seeing really your football knowledge in full display here.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Right,
let's move on.
Here we go.
Let's get this wrapped
question.
Up.
Two players scored five goals at Euro 2020. Name one of them. Two players scored five goals at Euro 2020. Name one of them.
2020, did you say?
2020, yeah. Which was really in 2021, but that's besides the point. You both look like you're sure of the answer. Both written something down.
I've got one, but I'm trying to think who the second one was.
Well, you don't need the second one.
I know, but I'm just curious.
You've got one, Stephen.
Yep.
Alright, okay, let's go. Who you went for, Ewan?
Harry Kane.
Let's see the answer then.
Well, I fucking said it. What do you want me to show it for?
Harry Kane.
Stephen,
I have gone for as well. I've gone for Harry Kane.
Who's the second one?
Are both wrong.
And Marshall has saved.
Yes! What?
Cristiano Ronaldo and Patrick Schick of
Czech Republic.
Yep.
He scored two against us.
Mm-hmm.
So are you sure Harry Kane wasn't up there?
No.
Harry Kane not got a hat trick in one of the games.
According to my sources, which I looked up,
were they the top goal scorers?
No, they were the top two top goal scorers.
All right.
Oh my God.
Do you want me? It doesn't matter. You've cancelled each other anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I looked up this morning. And it's go with what it says on the internet. Right. Okay. Which country is appearing at the Euro Championships for the first time this summer? Which country is appearing at the Euro Championships for the first time this summer?
I've got my answer.
Oh wow! Quick off the mark, boys. Right. Okay. What are you in for, Ewan?
Georgia.
Stephen?
I have also gone for Georgia.
Now, let me just do the calculation. No, we've got one more question after if you've both got this right. Okay. Congratulations, both right. It is Georgia.
I don't believe this. It's 2-1. back.
What do you mean you don't believe it? It's 2-1.
It's 2-1.
You're saying as if this
is... I was too quick with Portugal for the second question.
Well, right, okay. That's a, right. Easy question, I think.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, yeah, Ewan, I don't think you've got a chance here. But this, if Stephen gets this, he's won. How many teams will appear at Euro 2024? How many teams at Euro 2024?
Just can hand them the victory. Just hand them the victory. Eh? How many teams are playing at the 2024 fucking Euros? Jesus. We fucking question this for a 10-year-old or something. This is the kind of question you'll get in primary school.
I tell you what, to put a bit of jeopardy into this?
Yes!
I find whatever.
Okay. Right.
I mean, I'll win regardless. Right.
Find so another question.
Right, okay.
That was 24.
The answer was 24.
Of course it was 24.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a closest to question then. Right. Right? And then whoever gets closest, it could, you know...
It'll win the point.
No, it wins the point and gets... We'll come to a tie-break then.
Got you. Go on.
Right, okay.
Go on. Right. Question 5.
How many official Man of the Match performances did Ronaldo have at the last tournament? How many...
Man of the Match performances.
Actually, across his Euro career, actually.
His whole Euro career?
Yeah. How many Man of the Match performances did Cristiano Ronaldo get? Closest to will get the point. Both got an answer?
Wait. Right, I've got an answer.
Yep. Okay. Right, what have you went for, Stephen?
10.
10. Ewan, what have you went for?
12.
Oh, so if it's under 10, Stephen wins. If it's over 12... Ewan wins, and if it's 11, we're all fucked. So.
I went because of the 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016, and I averaged it out to basically being two or three.
He didn't play at Euro 2000.
Did he not turn up?
His debut was 2004. He was like 18 or something.
Anyway, I've gone 12.
You've gone 12. Stevens went 10. And the answer is 6, which means Steven wins again, Ewan.
Play my music. My theme tune. Even when Ewan spits the dummy and tries to get another chance at getting back into the game, he balls it up. I'd like to thank my friends and my family.
Oh, my God, here we go again.
All my colleagues.
Do you know what?
Well.
Your mum phoned me and said, I'm sorry, Ewan, he's embarrassing me and the family with his bullshit chat at the end of every quiz. Your mum phoned me and said to me that she's embarrassed by your chat.
Thank you to everybody who's helped me along to this success.
Mr. and Mrs. Mill, I can only apologise for how cringe your son is. And I know this is not a reflection on you as parents.
I'd just like to say
you.
Thank
tried
you.
To bring him up properly, but he's been an absolute dickhead with shite chat. Play the bloody music and let's get him.
But you're going to miss me for the next couple of weeks. Oh, I'm not going to be here. Get your bag. You've got a new bag.
I've got a new bag.
It's a new bag.
It's a new bag.
Where's your wee bag? Aw, I missed that wee bag.
Shut up, you hated it.
Anyway, thank you to everyone for watching, for listening, and all your comments as ever this week. You can get out the road, please. I'm trying to speak to the camera.
You do talk some amount of shite.
No, you... I talk some amount of shite.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, that's a classic coming for you. Anyway, Ewan will be back next week. Remember, play with Super Scoreboard live from Germany. I'll be in Germany as well with the Big Scotland Football Show. And see you later. Moan the Scotland. Bye, Ewan. With his wee bag. It's a new bag, though.